Thank you, Dr. Saunders. We're going to read this morning from the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 22. We will not read the whole chapter, but read some parts of it. 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we'll commence at verse number 1. 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. Then going down to verse number 8, Saul is getting annoyed because his people seem to be favoring David, and he is still king. That is, Saul is still king. And so he questions them. Verse 8, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Now Saul is very annoyed when he hears that Ahimelech had helped David, and so he says in verse 16, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also was with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Abiahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me. Fear not. For he that seeketh thy life, seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee today, and we thank thee for the precious word of a living God. We thank thee, O God, for the Old Testament scripture showing us of the coming of the Lord, and the New Testament bringing forth in vivid detail the life, the death of the Lord Jesus, and the glorious resurrection. And today, our Father, we thank thee that he ever lives to make intercession for us. And so, our Father, as we turn to thy word just now, we pray that thou would bless every individual soul. O God, help us who know thee to dedicate ourselves fully to thee. And Father, for those that know not the Lord, we pray today that thou would awaken them in the slumber of sin. May they realize that they need to be born again. And Father, we pray today that thou would start the cry, What shall I do? And Father, we pray that thou would make men and women weep until born anew. O God, speak by thy power, we pray. So, Lord, close us in with thyself. Defeat the devil and every stratagem of the wicked one. And speak to our souls, for we ask it in Jesus' name. This past week, we have been focusing on the situation regarding David around the cave at Dullam. Last Lord's Day, Dr. Saunders showed us how David flew from Saul and he came to Achish, the king, and how that when he was fearful what Achish might do to him, then he feigned himself mad and scrabbled upon the walls and allowed his spittle to fall upon his beard. So that was just before David came to the cave of Adullam. Then on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, the Reverend Sterrett, he focused on Psalm 142. That was a tremendous encouragement to those who were there. And Psalm 142 was written when David was in the cave of Adullam. And today I want to continue the theme and look at the sequel to both events, because we discover that, first of all, David escaped from Achish, and he came to this cave, and he hid in that cave, and Saul wanted to kill him. He was angry at Ahimelech for helping David, and so he orders the death of his family. His servants would not obey him, but Doeg the Edomite, who was in charge of some of Saul's flocks and so on, that he came, took the sword, and he killed 85 of those prophets, those priests who wore the ephod. And only Abiathar, that we read about in the last couple of verses, only Abiathar escaped and fled to David in the cave. And so I want to look at this incident here regarding him and regarding David in the cave. Now, the first thing we need to consider is David as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament has all kinds of types and shadows of the coming Christ. Always remember that these men, and sometimes women, they are shadows and types and pictures, not in their character, because every one of them is a sinner in the eyes of God, but in their circumstances, you'll find that they foretell the coming of our blessed Lord and Savior. You'll discover in the earlier part of this book that David was anointed. You'll notice that when Saul was anointed, he was anointed with a vial of oil. That is a man-made instrument, and it's perfectly in order with regard to the character of Saul, who was the man, the people's choice. But then David, he was anointed to be king by Samuel using a horn of oil. And the horn's a natural God-made thing. And so David was anointed. And the Bible tells us that Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse and told, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. You think of the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 2 and verse 6. "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And the word "set" there is the word "anointed." "Yet have I anointed my king upon my holy hill of Zion." So the Lord Jesus was anointed by God as king, as was David in an earlier time to be king over the natural Israel. Then you've got his adversary, because Saul hounded David and sought for his blood. And the Jewish leaders, they hounded the Lord Jesus Christ. And he who was a friend and a benefactor to Israel became an outcast. And as Isaiah tells us, he became the man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief. And then you have David's abode, because David was in a palace, but now he finds himself in the dark on a dank cave. And then over against that being pictured is the Lord Jesus Christ, where of him it says he had nowhere to lay his head. So just as David was confined to the cave, so the Lord Jesus Christ had no house, no home, no place to lay his head. But then you've also got the achievement because David went into the cave, apparently a loser, and that Saul had gotten the victory. But David come out of the cave of Adullam in victory because his men come out with him, and they went forth until he became undisputed king of the nation of Israel. And you've got a picture here of the Lord Jesus, how that he went into a cave. It was a tomb hewn out of the rock in Jerusalem. But the Lord went in, killed, dead, and apparently a loser. But he came out a glorious victor because he rose victorious over the tomb in the glorious resurrection. So those are just a few points there to show you how that David was a foretelling picture of the coming of the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you three people who should have been with David in the cave, but weren't. And maybe they picture some of you people here today. The first person who should have been with David was his wife, Michal. She was Saul's daughter. And Saul gave his daughter to David to wed, and they became husband and wife. And then when Saul turned on David and sought his life, we read in 1 Samuel 19 that Michal in her home took an image and laid it in his bed and put a pillar of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. So what she did when the soldiers came looking for David, as she in the bed put something that represented a body there and covered it over and was able to tell them that he wasn't well or he was sleeping, and so he was all right. But what a sad thing that was that she did, because instead of having the real David that she would have had if she had gone with him in the time of his humiliation, she only had an image. I wonder, is there somebody here today, and all you have is your own image of the Lord Jesus Christ? You haven't got the real Christ in your heart and soul, and you could be with him, you could enjoy his presence and the things that would come from that. But today you want to get an image like Michal. And there was something else too, that she could have gone with him and should have gone with him. And then later she'd have been living and reigning with him. But instead of that, we're told in 1 Samuel 25 that Saul gave his daughter Michal, David's wife, to Phaltai, the son of Laish. So instead of having David as her husband, she's given to somebody else. And she lost it out seriously because of that, and therefore did not live and reign with the Lord Jesus. And my friend, the believer is the one that lives and reigns with Christ, lives here on earth and eventually in glory. But are you giving all that up because all you have is an image, a personal image of the Lord Jesus, but you haven't got the real person? And then you discover that Michal should have been able to enjoy and share the triumphs, because David was anointed king. He was going to become king of all Israel, and that all kinds of triumphs that came to him. But instead of that, she despised him. You read in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 20, Michal loved David. That was the beginning of their marriage. But then you go to 2 Samuel 6 and 16, and here's David now moving the Ark of the Covenant into its proper place in Israel's worship. And it says, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And it says she despised him in her heart. All because she didn't have the real Christ or the real David. And she turned away. And perhaps there's somebody here today and you're in danger of losing all because you haven't got the real Christ. All you have is some sort of personal image, either in your mind, in your thought, or perhaps even in your home. And Michal became barren. That she could have been Solomon's mother, humanly speaking, that followed on after King David. But she didn't have David, didn't have any children. And so she lost out. And my friend, without Christ as your Savior, the real Christ, you can never bear fruit for him, and you can never glorify his name. Michal should have been there. She wasn't because she had an image, satisfied with an image. My friend, make sure you don't make her mistake. The second person who should have been with David in the cave was his dear friend, Jonathan. Jonathan, we're told in the scripture, loved David. Jonathan was Saul's son, and the two of them, their souls were knit together. And Jonathan loved him so much that when David had to flee from Saul, we're told that he stripped himself, 1 Samuel 18. So Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. So Jonathan so loved David that when David has to flee, he comes along and he gives him some of his own personal effects, things that were dear to him, and he gave them to David for the journey out into the wilderness and as he went eventually down to the cave. But there's something that's missing there. He gave his garments and his robe. He gave his sword. He gave other things. But he did not give his shoes. Doesn't say that the shoes were given. But then you read this verse, 1 Samuel 20. Jonathan went into the city, turned his back on David, went into the city walking on those very shoes. You see, he's willing to give so much to David, but he wouldn't give all. And he gave up his high position because he himself said to David, "Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee." So Jonathan saw himself as sort of prime minister under the king. But he gave that up because he didn't surrender all to King David. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that those who know the Lord Jesus, they shall be kings and priests unto God. What a glorious position that God gives to his redeemed children. But I wonder today, are you giving that all up because there's something in your life, some sin, there's something there that you're not willing to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, the devil's happy to have part of your life, but the Lord Jesus demands your all. You've got to give your all. And Jonathan, he gave a lot. And there are people who give a lot to God and to his work and to his church. But is there one thing in your life, and as I say this, you know in your heart what it is, one thing in your life that is holding you back from full surrender? The sad thing is that Jonathan lost his life. He went to the battle with his dad, and it says in the last chapter of 1 Samuel, the Philistines followed hard upon Saul, and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan. You see, if Jonathan had been with David, it would have been a different story. If he'd gone to the cave with him, it would have been a different story, but he didn't go. And so he goes back to his father and goes to the battle and loses life because he put his family first and they lost all. I wonder, my friend, is that a description of somebody here today? And you're putting your family and its decisions first, and you're liable to lose all. The hymn says, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. We need to surrender totally. The third person who should have been with David in the cave was the man that we've read about here today, Ahimelech the priest. Because when David came to him, he came in a hurry because of the situation. His life was in danger. And he came with some men, and he came to Ahimelech, and Ahimelech gave him food. He gave him the hallowed bread that had been taken from the place. Fresh bread was put in for the worship service, but the older stuff was given to David. And then he had no sword. He hadn't Jonathan's sword with him. And so he asked Ahimelech for a sword or for some weapon, and he goes and he brings him the famous sword of Goliath that David himself had used to cut the head of the giant. So he takes that. And he helps David prepare for the battles that are to come. But you know, he gave him food. He gave him a weapon. But the most important thing, he didn't give himself. You see, David needed a man like Ahimelech the priest to come with him and to stand with him and to act as an intervening priest with the Lord. But Ahimelech didn't go. And so he lost out because Doeg the Edomite, that wicked man who spilled the beans on David going to see Ahimelech, told Saul. Saul's angry, calls for Ahimelech to come and his men, his priests with him. And then Saul says, you'll die. And then he tells his own men to kill him, but they, in deference to the fact that these men were priests, would not do it. But Doeg the Edomite, he did, and he slew the 85 of them, as the scripture tells us. What an awful situation that he found himself in, because Ahimelech was trying to walk with a foot in both camps. He wanted to please Saul in the one hand, but he, as the priest of the Lord, knew that David already had been anointed to take Saul's place. So he's trying to walk with one foot following Saul and one foot following David. And the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare, and Ahimelech was killed. These three people should have been with David in the cave. One missed out because of an image. Another missed out because he didn't surrender all. The third missed out because he didn't give himself. My friend, today you should be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be in the camp of our blessed Lord. What is it that holds you back? Because if you continue the way you're going, you are in danger of eternal loss. But I want to show you the people who were with David. You asked the question, was there nobody to stand with him at that time when Saul was looking for vengeance and for blood? And the question comes to us that nobody today will stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and come out and say, I will stand with him and I will be with him. In David's case, we discover there were those. It says in verse 2 of our chapter, everyone that was in distress and in debt and discontented, they gathered themselves unto David, and he became a captain unto them. And what those people do, there's 400 of them mentioned here, they turned their back on Saul and they went after David. And perhaps there's some here today and you have your face towards Saul, who pictures to us the flesh and also pictures for us the wicked one. Is your face toward him, or today are you willing to turn your back and turn your eyes towards the Lord Jesus Christ and to look to him? Now, in the remaining part of this story, you have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a nutshell. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And here in David's case, we read that his father and his mother and his brethren and others, they came to David down in the cave. They left their homes, they left everything, they totally surrendered, and they followed David. And they came, and they were blessed. And the earlier opposition that even his family had to David was overcome. Now, what were their options? Death under Saul, or life under David. They were wise, and they went with David, even though it was to a cave rather than to a palace in the city. Now, those, we're told, were in distress. People who were oppressed by the devil, and these here were oppressed by Saul, and they'd rather be with David in the cave than to be under the oppression of Saul. And my friend today, what about you? Better to be with David and be hunted? Better to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and to be thought a fool in the eyes of the world than to be thought a fool in the eyes of Almighty God? So if you're in distress today, where do you go? You go to the greater David, because he'll be a help to you and a blessing to you. Those who were in debt were there. Everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt, they were there. And how great is the debt of sin that we owe unto Almighty God? You think as a little child, you begin to show some sort of indication that there's the old fleshly nature within. You don't have to teach a child to do evil. A child will do evil naturally. We have to teach them to do good. And so from a child, you have transgressed the commandments of God. And as time goes on, the pile of sin goes up. And as we used to sing in the Sunday school, "My sin rose as high as a mountain." And today is the time in your life when you've committed more sin than at any other time in your life. Because they have piled up and they have piled up and they have piled up. What a debt of sin we owe to God. And the sad thing is, we can't pay. We can't pay for it by doing our good works or going through religious observances. We can't pay for it. But thank God there is one, the greater David. He can pay for it. And he on the cross bore the burden of the sin of his people. And as the hymn says, Jesus bore, paid it all to him I owe. And then those who were discontented. Everyone that was discontented. The word, if you look in the margin, is bitter of soul. There is no satisfaction in the world. There's no satisfaction in following the devil. Oh, you may get a little bit of a lift for a moment or two, but I remember as a young man going with my friend at a movie in Belfast, and this is before I was saved. We went along to this thing, and this was unspeakably awful. Sort of a psychological movie. It was absolutely unspeakably awful. And the two of us come out of the picture house and drove the car up to his house where I was going to drop him off. And we sat and we talked, said, "Is this all there is to life?" And you look at some of the rubbish on the television today and you say, "Is this all there is to life?" And my friend, it engenders bitterness. There's no satisfaction in the world. And you'll find that peace, perfect peace, is found only in the Lord Jesus. He said, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And so thank God there is peace for us in the Lord Jesus. So if you're in distress today, you're in debt spiritually today, if you're discontented and bitter of spirit today, thank God there is peace with the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this chapter finishes off with a lovely story. The story of Abiathar, And Abiathar, he was one who escaped from the clutches of Doeg. He did the only thing he could do, and that was he fled to the arms of David. And you look at the last verse, well, first of all, verse 22, David said unto Abiathar, I knew at that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house, because I went to Ahimelech and he gave me those things. Now they've wrought vengeance and your family are killed. But here comes Abiathar. And David, first of all, he gives him a place, because he says, abide thou with me. One of the greatest hymns of all time is Henry Francis Light's hymn, Abide With Me. What a blessing that we can say to him, abide with me, through all the difficult times of life. But in this case here, it wasn't Abiathar saying to David, abide thou with me. It was David the king saying to him, abide thou with me. And so he provides a place for us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater David, he says, I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. You come to Christ as your Savior, you identify with him, and you are blessed because he has a home in glory forevermore. Not only did he give him a place, but he gave him a peace, because it says there in the last verse, abide thou with me, fear not. Oh, there's so many things in life that cause us to fear, but along comes the Lord Jesus and he speaks to us, and it's a wonderful study. In fact, I just read it this morning in our book on the four seasons. A wonderful study looking at the fear nots that the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken. Fear not. Came to Paul when Paul was at the end of his tether in Corinth and ready to give up. The Lord came, Paul, fear not, for I have much people in this city. And then when Paul was arrested in Jerusalem at the behest of the mob there, and he was put into the castle Antonium, was kept there. The night the Lord appeared to him, Paul, fear not, for thou wilt bear witness to me at Rome also. So the Lord, he appeared and he said, fear not. And to you he can give you that wonderful statement, fear not. But he also had a partner, because it says in the verse, abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life, this is David speaking, he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. And you got the words and prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who seek the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, they also seek your death. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he got victory over death. And we follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have peace and we have joy and we have felicity with him. So we had a partner. And the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us, is that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. But then he also, he got a promise. Abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. And then he says, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. The word safeguard means to watch over. Abiathar, you have come to the cave with me. I will watch over you. I will be your friend. I will be with you in the battle. I am with you. And you got there the echo of the great words of the Lord Jesus, who's saying to us, abide with me, for with me thou shalt be in safeguard. What a blessing. The Bible tells us there in Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And so the Lord is watching over his people. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And the little hymn says, "My Heavenly Father watcheth over me." And today, if you're in distress and discouraged and discontented and in debt, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to speak peace and to watch over you. And he says, "Abide with me, for with me thou shalt be in safeguard." What was the end result here? The end result was that David went into the cave in shame, and he came out to be king. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he went into the cave in shame, in ignominy, as a criminal put to death on the cruel cross. But he came out as a king. But you'll notice that these people who came to David in the cave, they had to identify with him first of all in the cave. Then they went out with him in triumph to take over the land in the nation of Israel. And likewise, we have to identify with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because until we identify with him in his death and his sacrifice for our sins, then we will never enjoy the glory of him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and never enjoy the greatness of his resurrection story and victory. So, my friend, today, you should be with Christ. What sort of excuse are you using? I trust that today you'll come, and you'll come and flee as Abiathar did to David. Flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen to those words, "Abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard." How good to be in safeguard of the Lord Jesus. No matter what happens in this world, the believer knows and is able to say, it is well with my soul. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank the Lord for this lovely story from thy word. And we thank thee, O God, for every person here who knows the Lord Jesus, who have identified with his death on the cross and in the tomb, and now can identify with his glorious resurrection. Bless thy people and help them to rejoice in all the good things that the Lord has done. And Father, we pray for those here, and there are those here, Lord, I believe this morning, to whom thou art speaking. We pray, O God, they'll not satisfy themselves with some personal image of him. We pray, our Father, that they may surrender all to Christ. We pray, our Father, that they would not put family and friends before the Lord Jesus, but rather identify with him. So Lord, save precious souls, we pray, before it is forever and eternally too late. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.